section, they would repeat something three times. And all throughout Scripture, as you read Scripture, you'll find when they say, "Holy, holy, holy is God, the Lord Almighty." Demonstrating that He is perfectly holy. He's perfectly what? Set apart. He's perfectly different. He's perfectly without evil. God is perfectly holy. So we looked at these different attributes of God. And this God is so amazing. And yet He still wants a relationship with us. He desires to have a close relationship with us. And He mentioned the verse in Romans chapter 1 where Paul says, "Wise men, a wise man comes before God and stands in awe of Him." Stands in awe. And sometimes we use the word awesome. You know, we say, "This is an awesome pizza." You know, we don't really use the word, and I'm guilty of that. I say it all the time. In the way that it's really meant to be used. Not that it's a bad thing necessarily, but if you really take the word for what it means, God is truly an awesome God. And He does want a relationship with us. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God says He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to have a relationship with Him. And this is the God, too, that focuses and created everything in such perfect detail. And Dave mentioned a few things that the book points out. That, you know, if you take a caterpillar, He's got 228 different muscles just in His head. 228 muscles. And it's like one of those things you would never even know or care about, but God designed it that way. You look at an elm tree, and the average elm tree has over 6 million leaves on it. And we could go all day and talk about these things, how God has designed things perfectly. And then Dave went into, he asked the question, what is being a New Testament Christian all about? What is it all about? You know, and he said, is it all about, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the things that we do. Some religious groups more than others, you know, you get caught up in the things that you do. Is it all about singing with our voices as opposed to singing along with the accompaniment of an instrument? You know, or being baptized in the proper way. Those things are very important. They are very important, and they should definitely be done the way that God wants them done. But is that what it's all about? We determine that what it's all about is having a relationship with God. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was the perfect sacrifice for us. That's what it's all about. And God wants that. God wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. Did anybody get a chance to do the homework? Was that a decent synopsis of what you talked about?
It was okay.
That was okay? Okay.
Is that going?
No, that's good, yeah.
Okay. Anybody get a chance to do the homework? Not to raise your hand necessarily. Dave mentioned at the end of class last week, you know, that he would encourage you to look at Isaiah chapter 6 and Romans chapter 4, the different...
Revelation.
What did I say?
Romans.
Revelation, thank you. Revelation chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 6, where John and Isaiah are giving their description of heaven and their description of the throne room of God. Take a look at that. If you haven't had a chance yet to do that, I encourage you to take a look and do that this week sometime. We're going to bring that up a little bit here in just a few minutes. I would encourage you to do that. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started with chapter 2. And Dave, if you would, there's a brief video clip. It's only like 2 minutes long, so just watch that real quick.
Or not.
We might not watch it.
Might have to get this light.
In the book of James, he asks the question, "What is your life?" And then he answers it by saying, "A vapor. You're here for a second and then you're gone. But have you ever really thought about that? I mean, literally thought, this could be the last day of my life. Sometimes it's easier to take ourselves out of the equation and maybe think about one of our friends or family members. And I don't mean to be morbid here, but we all have friends or family who we would say their lives were cut short, and remember the shock of that moment. But I don't want to be disrespectful, but I want you to think about their memorial service. And honestly ask yourself, while you were sitting there and hearing about their lives, did you really see them as people who invested their lives on earth for the sake of eternity? In other words, did they genuinely prepare themselves for that moment, knowing that, you know, this stuff on earth, all it is an investment for the future? Did they live that way? And as you read this chapter, I want you to evaluate your life and think through, am I right now preparing for that day? Am I really preparing for eternity in heaven? Am I living in such a way that shows that I really believe my life here on earth is just a vapor?
Things in mind, and I want to ask a question. I want some feedback. What is the point of your life? What is the point of your life? Somebody tell me.
To serve God.
To serve God. To glorify God. That's the point. That is the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, whether you eat, whether you drink, anything you do, do it all for what?
Glory of God.
For the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. That's what we're going to be looking at in this chapter. And that's the main question that he seems to be asking in this chapter. And as I read through the chapter, I kind of saw that he was approaching this question from three kind of different angles. First one, we're going to talk about these three different angles. God is eternal, but our lives are temporary. You know, we're only here for a short time. Like he quoted the verse from James, our life is a vapor. It's a mist. We're only here for a short time. Second thing we're going to look at, it's not about you. Life is not about you. Everything that comprises your life, your job, your school, you know, whatever you're doing, the things that you eat, the things that you wear, you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. We need to realize it's all about God. Everything is God's. And we talked about that in our finance class, you know, when we were talking about stewardship. Everything is God's. And it's all about God. We need to get over ourselves and realize that. Third thing, be ready. Be ready for what? Be ready for the time when judgment comes. Because you never know when that's going to be. The title of this chapter, chapter 2, is, the title of it is, you might not finish this chapter. The title of it is, you might not finish this chapter. Just saying, you know, you might not even finish reading it. You know, you might die before you finish reading the chapter. And so the question is, do you really believe, and that's what he's asking, that your life is temporary, and are you living your life daily on an everyday basis with that belief, knowing that, you know, what is that belief doing for you? Is it doing anything for you, or are you still just going about your day? Those are things we're going to be looking at. Okay, so the first one, God is eternal, but our lives are temporary. We're only here for a short time. It's easy for us to get caught up in our lives, isn't it? For us to get caught up in ourselves and the things that we do on a daily basis. You know, it is very easy for me to do that, I'll confess. In my job, I drive around, I go from house to house, I see a person, you know, go from one house to the next house. And I tell you, it is so easy to get caught up in just doing that. And, you know, I'll punch in the first appointment of the day on the GPS. And I'll go to that house. And then once I get to that house, I'll punch in the next address of where I'm going. And so I can see, okay, it's going to take me this long to get to the next house. So I only have 45 minutes here, you know. So I've got to be out of this house in 45 minutes or else I'm going to be late to the next. And so you just go from one thing of your day to the next. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Anybody else guilty of that? And sometimes we don't think about God enough. And I'm doing better with that now. But it's just, if we get wrapped up in ourselves. And we forget that life is truly a vapor. But there is the thing that life... Hey, come on in, man. There is nothing normal about today. You know, we think, well, this is just a normal day. Today is Sunday. This is what we do on Sunday. We come together, and this is what we do every Sunday. We have class, and then we go upstairs and have worship, and it's just a normal Sunday, right? But no, there's nothing normal about today. If you think about it, how many things have to happen in order for us to just be here and be together? You know, for example, you know, physical things like your kidneys. I mean, how many of you have actually thought about your kidneys today?
Nobody.
Have you?
No.
Your liver, you know, these things. Okay, you thought about your liver, but not your kidneys, you know. But if they weren't performing their what they were designed to do, If they were not working correctly, where would you be? You know, you would definitely know about it, wouldn't you? What about if you're driving down the road at 65 miles an hour? Everybody drove here to church this morning, right? We didn't have any walkers. You're driving down the road, and there's people passing you just a few feet away going the, you know, opposite direction, same speed. All they would have to do is just kind of, you know, a little, you know, they're on their phone, they swerve, or whatever, and your life is gone. And it's crazy to think that today is just a normal day. A day that we can just do whatever we want with. And that verse that he mentioned, James, it's James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, says, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, and we'll stay for a while, and we'll do business, and we'll make money. Why? Why, he says. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, your life is a vapor. Your life is a mist. And I think you're here for a short time, and then you just vanish away. When I think about that verse, Brandon preached a sermon on this. Go ahead. Brandon preached a sermon on this about, I don't know, 7 months ago. And he actually had a spray bottle. And he sprayed it, you know, if y'all remember, he sprayed it. And he was like, this is your life. Sprayed it. It's a mist. You know, you just see it for a second, and then it's gone. And that is truly, but do we consider our life like that? And we can vanish away at any moment. There's a guy, Frederick Buckner. He writes, anybody ever heard of Frederick Buckner? Seems like he quotes people that we've never heard of before, that T.W. Tozer and then this Frederick Buckner. Anyway, he says, intellectually, we know that we will all die, but we do not really know it in the sense that the knowledge becomes part of us. We do not really know it in the sense of living as though it were true. On the contrary, we tend to live as though our lives would go on forever. Is that true? Sometimes we tend to live as though our lives will go on forever. Think of it like this. And I think Brandon also did this description in his sermon a few months ago. He might have gotten the idea of this chapter. I know he read this book. Suppose life was like a movie. Everybody's seen a movie, right? In a movie, we have what? Main characters, the minor characters, and you have what we call extras. What's an extra? Just somebody that's just there for half a second. You know, somebody just has a very, very small part, a necessary part, but a very small part in the whole scheme of things. So suppose we consider all of time as long as God's created the earth as a movie. So, okay, here we go. The movie starts, and God creates the world. God creates the world. Were you there? Or was anybody there when God created the world? When God said, it is good, was he talking to you? No? Okay. So God creates the world, and he creates all the people. And after a little while, a few scenes later, here's the next scene, and people are rebelling against him. And God decides, you know what? I'm going to flood the entire earth and wipe out this mess that these people have created. Okay, and saves a few people in the process. Okay, well, a few scenes later, then we have a couple generations go by, and he picks out this 99-year-old man named Abram, and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And then, but later on, that nation makes its, or the small nation as it starts, makes its way down to Egypt. Then they grow as a nation. Then there's come along this guy named Moses, leads out the people, leads the people out of Egypt. Were any of you there for that? Did y'all see that? Okay, so far, who's done all this? God has done all this. And he's put the characters in place as he has decided. And he's used the people he decided. Ordinary people, but he's used them in great ways. Then later on, the nation grows and the people are still sinning against God. And so he sends prophets and judges to take care of them because they just have a really hard time doing the one thing that God asks of them, which is obey him. You know, so here's the prophets and the judges. Then later on, time goes by, and here's the climax. Climax of the movie. Jesus is born. The Son of God comes, and he is born, and he dies for us. And his son teaches his followers, hey, this is what true love is like. This is what true love is. And then he demonstrates it by dying on the cross. And even though the movie isn't quite finished yet, we know what a scene in the future holds, don't we? It's that throne room that Dave wanted us to look at. That is coming. You know, and we don't know when that's going to be, but that's how the story ends. We know that God is going to win. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. Isn't it? God's going to win. One day everybody will bow to him. Everybody. And from start to finish, who's the movie about? It's about God. But let's say you're one of these extras. You're one of these people that's, you know, you're just in there for half a second. And you think, you tell everybody, hey, I'm in this movie. It's a great movie. You know, and so let's say you rent out a whole theater, and you're going to take all of your friends and your family to go watch this movie that's about you, right? And so you go, and everybody's watching the movie, and then at the end of it, they're like, you're an idiot. You weren't there for half a second. You know, like the camera was panning across, you know, and you're here, you were walking down the street for like, boop, there you were, you're gone. For half a second, you're on the screen, and you're making a big deal out of it, and you think it's all about you. But what is it all about? Who's the main character in the movie? It's God. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about God. It has been ever since he created everything. How is it possible that we live as though it's all about us? You know? But we do. And,
Chris?
Yes.
I think part of it is that we have a misconception of life. You know, we approach life as living it and trying to fit God into our lives instead of that it's all about God and we got to fit our lives into God. You mm-hmm. know, and I think if I ever wrote a book, that's probably what it would be about. But you know, why do we always think, you know, we have to fit God, and that's what the majority, most of us do. Mm-hmm. We're trying to plug God into our lives. But if we would just realize that we need to fit life into God, you know, then God will create our lives.
Yeah, and that is one thing that Dave mentioned, too, and I forgot to retell when I was, you know, giving a synopsis of what he... But yeah, he was saying, you know, Dave was using the idea of a box, and we put our life is a box, and we try to put everything into the box. Well, we have our work that's in the box. You know, we put these most important things in there. We have our family, and you know, we're putting our lives into the box. Oh, we need to make some time for God too. Okay, let's put that in the box where God needs to be every part of our life. You know, and we're putting our life into God instead of God into our life. And again, coming back to that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether you eat, whether you drink, everything you do, do it all for the glory of God, because it's not about you. You know, we're only here for just that half a second. That's all we are in the movie. We're just there, and then we're gone. So, and he mentions a couple things here. I just want to read this to you real quick. He says, and maybe your life is good for you right now. God has given you good stuff so that you can go and show the world a person who enjoys blessings but is still totally obsessed with God. Or maybe right now your life is tough and everything feels like a struggle. And God allowed hard things in your life so you can show the world that your God is great and that knowing Him brings peace and joy, even when life is hard. But he says, to be brutally honest, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are, if your life is really good right now, if your life is a struggle right now. Wherever you are, the point of your life is to bring glory to God. The point of your life is to point to God. Wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, whatever you're doing. Because God wants to be glorified. He wants to be glorified, doesn't he? You know, we think back to that, the idea and what they wanted us to look at for the homework, the throne room of God. And what's in the throne room of God? If anybody got a chance to read it or if you've, you know, studied it in the past, what is there? You have the creatures, right? And the creatures, you know, they have these different features about them. They have six wings and they have eyes all over and some things about them. And what else do you have in the throne room of God? You have 24 what sitting around them? Elders. 24 elders sitting around that are wearing white and have gold robes. I mean, gold crowns. White robes. And what are the creatures and the elders doing? For eternity. Always. All the time. They're praising God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Worthy are you. You're the only one worthy. God created that. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be praise. If he didn't, they wouldn't be doing that all the time. And not only does God want them to praise him and give him glory, but he also wants us to do that as well. All the time. He wants our lives to be about him and not our lives being about us.
But that's the part that we have such a hard time grasping, is the fact that he created it and he wants it that way. But he made us so that he wants us to want to do that. Mm-hmm. He gave us the choice. And it is not worship that he demands and it's the only way it can be. He set it up that it's only good if we want to do it. Mm-hmm. And he put everything in place to make it so that we could see his majesty and his power and his love. And so that we would want to, but he didn't force us to, because it wouldn't mean anything to him.
Yeah,
he gives us the choice,
and he wants us
to want it, mm-hmm, beyond anything else.
Yeah, he desires for none of us to perish. He doesn't want any of us to perish, but all to come to repentance. But we have to decide that. Does anybody else have any comments at this point?
I just want to say, going on Rich's thought there, I think a lot of times, because we like praise, we enjoy that. Sometimes we need praise, or we feel like we need praise. But God doesn't need our praise. He was fine before we came along. He'll be fine after we're gone. We need to praise God for us. Mm-hmm. He instilled that in us, because that's when we are our best selves. And so a lot of times I think we're thinking, you know, we do that for God. Well, God doesn't need us. He knows that we need it.
Yeah, very good point.
That's why I like the first two chapters of Job so much. Because it's easy for us to love God when we, you know, We have all these wonderful things. But, I mean, the end of chapter 1 in Job, after he lost everything he had, after all his children were dead, he still said, "Blessed is the name of the Lord." In the worst adversity that you could think of. At the end of chapter, in the middle of chapter 2, his wife said, "It'd be better for you to curse God and die." And he said, "No. God is and deserves, blessed is the," again, he repeated, "blessed is the name of the Lord." And if we can do that when things are at their worst, why can't we do that when everything is cruising along so smooth? Because when we know we need him, it's easier. Those days when we have it perfect, we think we did it.
It's all God.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything at this point? So that's the first two that I wanted to talk about this morning. That God is eternal and our lives are temporary. We're just here for a very short time. We need to remember that and keep that in mind. Not only that, but life is not about you. We are here for just a short time. And I don't know about you, but I want my little vapor, my little half second in the movie, my little extra part to be glorifying God. Not necessarily because he needs it, like you say. Because it's good for us, too. Both ways. The third thing, too. Be ready. Be ready for the judgment. And to kind of demonstrate this, he brings up in the book, he brings up two examples of people that you would say are that prepared themselves, that were ready. And I was going to try to like tell the story, but I don't think I can tell the story. He's got two little short stories in here. Probably easier and better for me to just read these to you. So how much time do we have?
10 minutes.
We got to start at 20, so we're good. Okay. So this fellow, Francis King, he's a pastor. He called, he's a preacher or whatever. And so he gets called upon a lot when people pass away, of course, And so he says one of the most, the title of this little the subheading is, "Are You Ready?" He says one of the most powerful examples I've seen of this was of a guy named Stan Gerlach, a successful businessman who was well known in his community. Stan was giving a eulogy at a memorial service when he decided to share the gospel. At the end of the message, Stan told the mourners, "You never know when God is going to take your life. At that moment, there's nothing you can do about it. Are you ready?" Then, at that point, Stan sat down, fell over, and died. His wife and sons tried to resuscitate him, but there was nothing they could do. And just as Stan said just a few minutes earlier, it happened to him. I'll never forget, this is Francis Darwin, I'll never forget receiving that phone call and heading over to the Gerlach house. Stan's wife, Susie, was just arriving home. She hugged me and cried. One of her sons, John, stepped out of the car weeping, and he asked me, "Did you hear the story? Did you hear? I'm so proud of him. My dad died doing what he loved most. He was telling people about Jesus. I was asked to share a word with everyone that gathered. There were children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends. I opened my Bible to Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. It says, 'Whoever acknowledges me before men, him I'll also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven.'" I asked everyone to imagine what it must have felt like for Stan. One moment, he was at a memorial service saying to a crowd, "This is who Jesus is." The next, he was before God hearing Jesus say, "This is who Stan Gerlach is." One second, he was confessing Jesus. A second later, Jesus was confessing him. And it happens that quickly. And it could happen to any of us. And in the words of Stan Gerlach, "Are you ready for that to happen?" That's one example. He also brings up this girl. Her name was Brooke Bronkowski.
Brooke was a beautiful 14-year-old girl who was in love with Jesus. She was in junior high. Or when she was in junior high, she started a Bible study on her campus. She spent her babysitting money on Bibles so she could give them out to her unsaved friends. Youth pastors heard about this and brought her boxes of Bibles to give away. Brooke wrote the following essay when she was about 12 years old, and it will give you an idea of what kind of girl she was. And this is the essay, or this little. She called it, "Since I Have My Life Before Me. I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I'll be more joyful than I ever have been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures, and I will change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have my moments, good and bad, but I'll wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I'll remember, just good moments. Nothing in between, just living life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I'll pray for direction. I have my life before me. I'll give the joy I have to others, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God, and I will do my best." Then it goes on to say that during her freshman year, just a year or so after she wrote this, Brooke was killed in a car accident when driving to the movies, and her life was ended when she was just 14, but her impact didn't. Nearly 1,500 people attended her memorial service. And people from her public high school were read poems and things that she had written about her relationship and her love with God. And everybody spoke of her example and the great joy that she had. And while, you know, during the memorial service, he got up and you know, said a few words, and he decided, you know, he would share the gospel and during that service as well. And so during that service, there were over 200 people that responded to the message of the gospel. You know, and it just goes to show that she can still have huge impact. You know, her life had such an impact on so many people. So I just wanted to share her those a couple of examples that I thought were pretty good examples of, you know, just asking the question, are you ready? Are you living your life daily, knowing that your life is temporary, knowing that it's not about you, it's about God? Are you living your life daily like that? Almost sounds like a sermon, doesn't it? Try not to preach to you, but we need to keep these things in mind. So that's pretty much all I have for us this morning. Anybody have any comments?
You know, you used the word awesome earlier, you know, and awe means breathtaking, you know. So when we say stuff like, what an awesome God we serve, or God is an awesome God, you know, we're saying he's breathtaking. You know, it fills us up so much that it takes our breath away. You know, and I can see why people like Moses and John and those that God appeared before fell on their face by the description of what they saw. You know, that you know, and say, I'm not worthy. You know, because we just can't fathom the power and the majesty of God. You know, and it's kind of scary to me, you know, that time that I'll stand before God, because I know that that's going to be my reaction. I mean, Moses, you know, he turned red, you know, as God from, you know, described God from the waist down as flaming fire, and from, you know, and although those are just descriptions, you know, I mean, you know, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, he's awesome. And so I just want to kind of mention that.
Isaiah had a similar response. You know, when he was describing in Isaiah chapter 6, the throne room of God, he saw, it said, you know, I think his very first verse, he said, I saw God, I saw a throne and one sitting upon it. And then, you know, described the whole scene that he saw. And what was his reaction? A few verses later, he said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. You know, I'm not worthy to see this. And, you know, like I say, it's kind of scary. That needs to be our reaction, you know, when we consider that. Is, woe is me. I'm unclean. Yeah, thanks for bringing that point. Anybody else? Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for all the comments. And,